Well, welcome. My name is John Hamilton. I'm the pastor at Christ Church in Montevideo, Uruguay. And so we're looking for some new ways to stay connected as a community in these times of crisis. And so hopefully this simple format and this brief model of Bible study and reading and reflection that I share today can be an encouragement to you. And so maybe you're like me. You know, I'm feeling the anxiety and the uncertainty and some of the frustrations and change and transition that are coming in this time of crisis. I've lost my familiar routines. I'm feeling flooded with all the information and the news updates, and I'm missing my usual interactions with people that I love and care about and see, coffee, meetings, appointments, church activities and gatherings in the community and different types of things, and live conversations. But you know, in bad times and good, I try to listen to the words of Scripture. I read and I reflect and I wonder. And I ask questions of myself and of the text. And I try to hear what God's Spirit might be trying to communicate to me. And so I invite you into this morning. If you have a Bible there on your cell phone or whatever, you pull up a Bible and look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. You know, I was sitting there in stillness and reflecting, and I remembered a verse that once I had memorized. And the verse came to my mind, and so I wanted to look it up. The verse is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul is writing and he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. And in the time of crisis, I was thinking, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. And at first, I wanted to just assume that's what God has given me. And I remembered, you know, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, we've worked together, my friend, for these 20 years, and look what God has done in our life. And I was reminded that this is something that God can give us. And I wonder, has He given that to me? Am I here with a spirit of timidity and fear, of power and of love and of a sound mind, self-discipline? And so I wanted to go to the chapter and see, what else is Paul talking about? What else can I learn from this chapter? And so I opened the text, and here I am in my Bible, and Paul starts off this chapter. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And I'm interested in just reflecting and reading and not going into a lot of commentary or theological discussion, but just to notice Paul's level of self-awareness, his self-confidence in announcing an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And I'm realizing Paul has taken time to be self-aware who he was and who he is and who he is becoming. He has this confidence that God has really transformed his heart and his life. And so he has a message to share. And he says, I'm an apostle. I'm an ambassador. I'm a representative. And I'm confident in saying this because I know what's happened in my life. I have a message of hope. And I went to verse 2, and it says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, just reflecting, I'm realizing, why is Paul writing to Timothy? I mean, these guys worked together, side by side, arm in arm, for 20 years. But where is Timothy? Oh, yes. Paul is in prison, kind of like quarantine. It's been imposed on him. He's been shut up in this place. Social distancing is going on. And he's like, wow, what a miserable time. My business is ruined. I have an uncertain tomorrow. I'm stuck here and I'm lacking some things, and this is awkward. And yet, what does Paul do? He turns this crisis into an opportunity, and he says, you know what? I'm going to send Timothy a letter. And so he sits down to write a letter, and aren't we glad he did? Because he brings words of hope for millions of people, literally, that we're still reading his letter today. And so I ask myself the question, as I'm in quarantine or my routines are being crushed in, and they're going to be, who could I be reaching out to to connect with in a meaningful way. And so that's the way that I read these texts and I reflect. And I went down verse 3 and Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I say, you know, that sounds like the kind of thing a preacher might say or Paul might say. And, you know, what a wonderful words. But as I stopped to reflect and I was sitting there and I thought, isn't it amazing that Paul's sitting in prison with his anxiety and his problems and his issues, and the fact that Paul's been around the world, his known world, all that could be in his mind, and he's able to connect emotionally with the people he's writing to. He's able to recall their tears. He's able to feel that sense of distance and longing, and maybe you're separated like I'm separated from some of the people that I love and my family and friends in different places around the world. And some of them are going through difficult times. And as we feel that distance, Paul was able to sit there and remember and pray with a clear conscience. And I thought, you know, how many times my prayers are just not filled with gratitude, but filled with more the anxiety of, God, can't you do something to help this situation? Paul says, you know, I just put gratitude first. What a model for me. And I thought as I reflected, how am I doing with that in my difficult spaces? Can I connect emotionally? And that's a challenge. And Paul goes on in verse 5. He says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. So he's connected now. He's thinking of this individual, really putting himself in the shoes of that person. And I see that Paul is not only self-aware and grateful in a person of prayer, but he's other-centered. In his crisis, he's worried about how he can help and encourage someone else. And not only that, as he thinks of Timothy, he thinks of Timothy's grandmother and his mother and the whole context, and he realizes the importance of family. Timothy's family of origin, they brought him to faith, that shared a faith with him. And as Paul thinks about that, I'm sure he's thinking of his own legacy. Where did I come from? He's already mentioned that in the chapter. Where am I going? And he realizes the decisions that my grandparents made and my parents affect who I am today and the places that I am right now. But the choices that I make, how I'll respond to this crisis, what I'll do with my resources, the way that I choose to believe or to reflect or to respond, that's going to affect people for generations to come. It's hard to imagine, but Paul puts that in here. And so now the bar is really high. And in verse 6, he says to Timothy, for this reason, I urge you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says, you know, Timothy, we've been through a lot of stuff together, and we know we need to take the initiative. We need to be proactive. And we need to pursue God's work in our life. God can give us purpose and meaning and direction. But he says it's not easy. We're in this crisis. We're in this situation. And you and I are in places today, right where we are, where it's not that easy. And Paul says, take initiative. Fan into flame. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. And Paul says, well, being still is also part of that fanning into flame. Why? Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so that's a lot for today. I mean, that's just a lot to think about. But just glancing through this passage, we can see the importance of self-awareness in Paul's capacity to write this kind of letter. Faith in God's promises. A firm belief in the life that Christ gives. He's focused on encouraging others. He comes in peace. He's not bringing the gossip. He's not raising the level of anxiety. He's not coming with stories about other people or stuff they've already heard. He's coming and saying, you know, I want to come and bring you grace and mercy and peace from God. And so he comes with gratitude. And he starts with prayer. And he says, you know, our families are important. And the legacy we leave is important. The choices we're making affects the people that come behind us. And so he says, you know, it's hard, and you're going to need God's help. And that's why it's said throughout the scriptures, and here's a timely place to say it. We often say at Christ Church, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In your place, wherever you are today, geographically or spiritually, you're feeling far from God, you have doubts, you have concerns, there's a lot going on. But don't be proud. Ask God for his help. He brings the grace. He brings the mercy. And let's look for his purposes as we trust in his promises. Thank you for joining us this morning.